It's Jenny and Bill with Simple Bath and Kitchen.
We know the world feels a little crazy sometimes, but your home, that should be your safe place.
A beautiful kitchen for your family, a bathroom that feels like your own private retreat.
At Simple Bath and Kitchen, we have a fine-tuned process that makes remodeling something that you can actually enjoy.
Because when everything outside is unpredictable,
your home should be exactly what you need it to be.
Visit us at simplebathandkitchen.com to regain your peace today.
We make it simple for you.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on the final Premiership weekend before the World Cup break. Rangers fall further behind with pressure mounting on Giovanni van Bronckhorst. Celtic see off Ross County amid more handball drama. And there were big wins for the likes of Kilmarnock and Aberdeen as the top flight now goes into cold storage until mid-December. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Kenny Miller and Roger Hanna.
We have entered uncharted territory, Gordon. We have never had a hiatus like this in Scottish Premiership history. 5 weeks with no Celtic games, 5 weeks with no Rangers games. So I can only imagine the calls tonight and for the next month are going to be about Harry Kane and Raheem Sterling, whether Dylan Levitt gets into the Wales team or not, and who's going to win between Qatar and Ecuador on Sunday. I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, absolutely. I'll just say it 3 minutes past six, it's rubbish, Kenny Miller, yeah. It's rubbish, everybody knows it's rubbish. We wish we still had the domestic football, and it's easy to say that when Scotland aren't there. But we're not going anywhere. For the next 5 weeks, we will be here covering all the talking points from Scottish football, because I'm sure there will still be some. And my goodness, Kenny, it might take a couple of weeks to get over this weekend for starters.
Yeah, I think we've got 4 or 5 weeks worth of hard decisions to discuss over the handball situations, penalties, red cards. We've got so much still to go through. I'm sure the shows will be filled and we'll have plenty to talk about. But again, I agree with you. I think it's rubbish. No, I'm can't wait for the 15th of December. Like you say, Scotland will be in the World Cup. What games will I watch? I'll probably pick and choose the ones when the big hitters are playing against each other. But no, it's not going to be a good it's going to be a long four or five weeks, that's for sure.
And let's be honest, Roger Hanna, is the main question tonight, will Giovanni van Bronckhorst be the Rangers manager by the time this World Cup finishes?
Well, 100%, because when you finished the show on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, there must have been a doubt whether Giovanni van Bronckhorst would still be Rangers manager when the title sequence went up tonight at 6 o'clock. He is still at the helm. How much longer he's still at the helm is now a decision for the Rangers board.
01419511025. Forget that, all that World Cup stuff. We've still got loads on our plate from the weekend. So get in touch and let us know how you feel about it. Rangers fans, there is obviously only one place to start as far as you're concerned. It was another poor result, more dropped points, a widening gap at the top of the table, and mountains more criticism for the manager, Giovanni van Bronckhorst. At 6:05 on the Monday night, he's still the manager. There is no sign necessarily that changes. But what do you think? There's now a good few weeks for the club to have a think about things, for you to have a think about things. So pick up the phone tonight, look back on the weekend by all means. Specifically, where did it go wrong? What annoyed you about the performance? There were one or two players individually getting it in the neck on this show on Saturday night. And is this the gap, is this the break in which Rangers part ways with the manager or not? Pick up the phone right now and let us know. 0141 951 1025. Roger Hanna, your result of the weekend, if you don't mind.
The result of the weekend, I'm going to go right back to the best game of the weekend on Friday night, live on the telly. Hamilton 2, Ayr United 3. Ayr temporarily 6 points clear at the top of the Championship. I know it was cut by Morton on Saturday afternoon, but it was a TV thriller. 3 times they took the lead and they only just clinched it right in injury time.
Ayrshire bias as always, Kenny. Your result of the weekend?
I'm going to give it St Mirren. Obviously beat Celtic at home. Probably deserved a win against Rangers at home had it not been for the penalty against on Ryan Kent. It was a really strong performance again for Stephen Robinson's men. So yep, I'd give it to them for their draw against Rangers.
Goal of the weekend?
Goal of the weekend, I am going to go, it's a very difficult sort of, there wasn't too many goals, I'm going to go with Sead Haksabanovic for Celtic. I think it was a lovely controlled finish down into the bottom corner at 1-0 down. I think you know, even Hugh Keevans didn't say Celtic couldn't come back this time. They did come back. David Turnbull equalised and a spectacular winner by Haxa Barabic.
I think he was about to. I could see it in his eyes. It was just because it was his birthday. He was a bit slower on the uptake. Kenny, goal of the weekend?
I'm going to get it to Stephen Kelly.
Oh, good choice.
Against Hearts. I mean, great touch. Good body movement, shifting onto the right, and to beat a goalkeeper of Craig Gordon's quality into that low, arrowed into the low, into the bottom corner. Wonderful finish, and that might be his first goal.
Yeah, I was right behind it actually. Tynkasse, it was a lovely move, finish. Great layoff by Andy Shinney, and lovely, as you say, particularly to beat Craig Gordon when he was playing like that on Saturday.
Arrow like into the bottom corner.
I feel like I'm going to start every week just throwing in a lower league one that deserves a mention. I think we should do that. Have you seen Leon McCann from Falkirk?
No.
Check it out, that's fine. That's all I'll say to you. Where are we? Howler. This will be good. We'll extend the show till midnight. Howler of the week.
Well, I'm all over it, as you know. Penalty against Matt O'Reilly. Howler. Absolutely.
What is
howler.
Happening to us? Roger.
I'm going to steer clear of VAR. I'll let Kenny talk about VAR tonight. I think the howler simply has to be the Rangers' performance and the Rangers' result again. Off the back of drop points at home to Livingston, the defeat at St Johnstone. To drop more points and almost lose, be 6 or 7 minutes from defeat in Paisley. It's another low point in the season for Rangers.
And finish on a high, top performer over the weekend. Who was the main man?
Listen, it's hard. It's not a real outstanding cat tricks. There's no top, like, real outstanding performances. But I'm going to give it to a Junger from St Mirren. A goal against both sides of the Old Firm. Could have been a winning goal, but just his whole play over that game, he was an absolute handful for young Leon King and James Sands. So I'm going to give it to a Junger.
And I'm going to go a bit left field. David Witherspoon of St Johnstone set up the goal in the draw against your beloved Motherwell. Man of the match performance at Perth on Saturday, and his weekend even better, named in the Canada squad to go and play in the World Cup.
World Cup is now banned from being mentioned between now and 8 o'clock. We've got more on our plate before we turn our attentions to that. Don't hold me to that, by the way, because I'll probably forget. But anyway, 0141 951 1025. Come on down. How do you feel after the weekend? Kenny's given his howler of the weekend, that handball decision against Matt O'Reilly. But Rangers fans, let's start with that game in Paisley. Where did it go wrong on the day? And where does this leave you, the club, and the manager overall? Possibly the same question I've asked on many Monday nights, but every time you need to ask it, the reaction, I suspect, will be more severe. So let's get stuck straight in with Jack, who's in Shettleston. Jack, sum up how it feels going into this break on the back of that at the weekend.
Yeah, it's a struggle, to be honest, but I was looking to get your points, guys. What do you think about Rangers should do? Because if Rangers don't get rid of Gio, he could come back after this break and drop points in his first game, and everybody's going to be absolutely going raging, and quite rightly. But if they bring a new manager in now, he's got this time to work with the players, implement his style and his philosophy and what have you. But if they don't, if he drops points again, everybody's going to go bonkers. That's the thing.
So Jack, just before I get ask them what they think, because you have, that means you think it's time to part ways, yeah?
I think he's been very unlucky with injuries and things like that, I really do, but the style play is very slow as well, and you know that way I'm caught two minds. I just don't know, is that type of thing, and I don't think me and the board know, and it's going, is there a stolen thing because of the money it's going to cost to get rid of everybody and maybe bring somebody in? I don't know.
Fair enough, you're allowed to be torn. I think now, Kenny, a lot of Rangers fans probably aren't. Yep. But Jack's saying, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm similar. To Jack. I think it's, if you're not going to do it now, then I don't think you can do it in the 2-3 games after the break, because it would have just been a complete waste of this opportunity that the World Cup's presented us with this. Again, it's a pre-season. It's a chance for a new manager to come in. I think something else that feeds into it is they will have a target or targets, and it's whether they can get those targets now, because if they can't, that might also play into whether Giovanni stays or he doesn't stay. So, I mean, there could be guys that are actually in employment who they would need to then maybe go and pay money to get them out of contracts as well, rather than just going for somebody that's out of work. And I would presume that there's at least one or two guys that are in work that they would that they would be targeting high up the list. So there's a lot that feeds into it, but ultimately they need to get the decision done. They need to make it quickly to get the benefit of this break if they decide to part ways with Gio. So, you know, I'm torn because you never want to see a manager. And again, Giovanni's a really good guy. He's done up until this season. I mean, everybody was singing his praises last year after how his team were performing in the European run to the to Seville. So there has been a lot going on this year in terms of everything Jack says: slow performances, lack of energy, lack of passion, poor results as well, which obviously leads to Rangers being 9 points behind Celtic after 15 games, which is never good. So I don't know which way to lean at the moment, to be honest.
Roger, do you think Rangers will part ways with the manager during this World Cup break?
You asked me that last Tuesday night and I said, yeah, I think they probably will.
Must be a definite yes now then.
I've said before, the status quo can't continue. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst and this group of players are incompatible. You can see where that team was 6 months or 12 months ago and you see where they are now. They've regressed badly. So either the board completely puts their faith in the manager and allows the manager to bring in 8, 9, 10, 11 new players in the January and summer windows, because that's what it's going to need. Or they take the other way and they get a different manager in who will get more out of this group of players. Because as Kenny says, the group of players just now look lethargic, they lack energy, they've been outrun by the St Mirrens, the St Johnsons, the Livingstons of this world, they lack pace in the team. And that none of that could have been said about that group of players 6 or 12 months ago. Quite the opposite was being said. You know, when they were beating Celtic in the Cup semi-final at Hampden, people were commending them for the energy levels at the end of 120 minutes. So something is going badly wrong there.
What's going badly wrong, Jack? What's the bit then? You say you're torn. What's the bit that is making you want to keep faith with this manager?
At times I don't think he's made decisions. At times I don't think he's been sitting and watching Matondo or anything like that, who I think has got a bit of a hard time, because I don't think he's a right winger. I think he plays on the left. There's just something not right, and the injuries that have happened to him as well is a bit unfair. Not unfair, but it's just he's not got his strongest 11 out there. Mm-hmm. And then you get the thing with Morelos, who just seems to have down tools as well. Kamara seems to have down tools since he's not got his move to Nice. Those players who were big hitters just seem to have disappeared now. I don't know if that's maybe down to the way he's managing or anything like that, but I don't ever think managers or players won't give their all for a manager, because, I mean, let's be honest, players are selfish in a way as well, because you want to, they've got pride, you know what I mean? So you don't want to lose. So I don't understand when people say that he's lost the dressing room. They're still going to try, you know, because they're ultimately the ones going to lose out in medals and things like that. And just to touch on what Kenny was saying as well about, if they've got somebody in line for a job, I don't mean to put words in Kenny's mouth or anything like that. For me, the person who you would want would be Michael Beale. But are you going to get Michael Beale when he's doing so well with QPR? We don't know, because he could end up going up to the Premier League and then you'd go to Sean Dyche, Aston Hootle. There's a few others. My team Gerrard was probably the favourite. But I wouldn't want Gerrard back without Beale.
QPR now sliding down the table, incidentally. Maybe the opportunity has changed slightly.
I don't know what happened to Michael Beale in the district bar. He's lost every game since he was there.
I feel like you're about to butt in on Jack. I can see you poised.
What word has been used more than any other word in this show since 6 o'clock? Manager. Now, to me, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst isn't what I would traditionally think of as a manager. Now, we're getting into semantics here. For me, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, head coach of Rangers. Because Rangers have a head of recruitment who brings in the players. Rabbi Matondo always gets a mention. He gets a mention from Jack there just now. You know, you're not telling me Giovanni Van Bronckhorst burst in one day in the summer and said, we need to sign Rabbi Matondo. You know, he is there to coach the players that are given to him.
But do many managers / head coaches, look, the problem is we've got right now,
well,
in this
I'll
city,
give you a different state
everybody
away.
Everybody knows, because Ange Postecoglou brought guys from Japan. But yeah, other than that, I mean, even... So,
the point I was going to make, I'm not too sure that there are. The point I was going to
make, I don't think it is the setup. Like, I honestly, I could not disagree more on that statement that Giovanni has no say on.
He'll have a say, but he doesn't have as big a say as Ange Postecoglou does, or a David Martindale does.
Those two are extreme examples though right now, aren't they? Because David Martindale
and are different clubs
plumbs the showers at Livy, so we know he does everything. And Celtic at a time when they didn't have
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst is the guy ultimately who's in the line of fire at the minute. What we need to establish from Jack and from other Rangers fans are, which part of the problem at Rangers needs to be addressed? Is it the coaching? Is it the way the players are drilled before games? Is it team selection? Is it recruitment? Because I don't think Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has an enormous say in the recruitment at the club. You know, before we're talking about people losing their jobs, where do the Rangers fans think the majority of the problems lie?
You don't agree with that. You think that you have to almost take the criticism for that when you're the manager.
I think you do. Partly, you know, like the players need to take responsibility for their own individual performances. It can't always be the manager. It's a football club. It's everybody looking to achieve one thing. Everybody looking in the same direction, pulling in the same direction. So when you're talking about recruitment, recruitment is a collaboration. It's not. And I know there is clubs that abroad, even down in England, that there will have this thing where a guy does sign the players. And that's fine, because that's clear to the manager when he comes in. That will not be Glasgow Rangers. It is a collaboration. The manager, the head of recruitment, Ross Wilson is the director of football, the scouts that are going out to see these players. It is a collaboration, and everybody will give their 50 pence worth of who they feel would be the right signing for the football club. And then they will, I think, between Ross and between Gio, that's where I think it will fall. I don't think it's more Gio or more Ross. And I could be miles off it, but it has to be a collaboration. Because see, if you're going in and it's one guy against one guy, that's a fight. It's a losing battle. That's not how you operate in a football club. You have to be working hand in hand.
Thank you to Jack. Let's bring in Alan. Same question, Alan. Will Giovanni Van Bronckhorst, or should he still be the manager when this break finishes?
Good evening, panel. 2 weeks ago, I was on and defended him. I'm starting to change my tune. I don't think he might be the manager before the break finishes. But as Kenny says, I feel sorry for him, because the players have got to take their actions in it as well. Like, I was taught when I played football, it doesn't matter what age you are, there's Ian King and Saturday, 18, his young boy's been flung in. Why is he taking a touch 3 yards for his own goal? Clear your minds. How the St Mirren fan behind the goal, put it over a stand. Things like that, they're no helping. But Gio, some of his team selections, I've heard you on the show before, players that's been out of the picture for weeks upon weeks and then they get flung in. And there's a lot of strength. And their fitness. Our fitness was superb last year. We seem to be so lacking in fitness.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's it, Roger. This all seems like the same conversation that we had maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah. Except Rangers have continually been dropping more points. So if it's not now, at what stage is it getting more extreme? You know, because we're saying the same things that we were saying. Oh, well, you know, but it's only 4 points. No, well, it's only 7 points. It's now 9 points. And they've
listen, there's no
sign of an away win.
Listen, Celtic have lost one of the last 47 league games. This league is all but over. You're relying on Celtic not only losing 3 games between now and the end of the season, you're relying on this Rangers team going on a lengthy winning run, and that looks extremely unlikely at the minute. Now, Alan has made a good point again about the fitness of the players. Now, we're asking who's to blame for what. If the players look unfit and lethargic and lacking of energy, that is something that's to be laid at the door of the head coach. What is going on in training Monday to Friday? What's the tempo like in training? You know, people say you should train the way they play. If they're playing the way they train, then that doesn't say a lot for what they are doing through the week. So that is something you would hold Van Bronckhorst and his coaching staff responsible for. And they don't look as fit. They just don't look as fit as they did in the run-in at the end of last season.
I mean, Alan, is it just as simple? I was going to say, what's changed in the last 2 weeks that's tipped you over the edge? Is it just those two performances, or, you know, is there more to it?
That's a good question. I think the performances and the way the team's getting picked, everything, and injuries. And to be fair, I mean, here's a point for Kenny. Sorry, and can I have one quick point with Roger before I go? But here's a point for Kenny. You're a professional football player. Rangers played a lot of games last year. in the Europa run, I think it was an extra 20 games. Is this now the backlash of that? Apart from Tom Lawrence, a lot of players like Conor Goldson never missed a game. A lot of players are getting muscle injuries. Is that a backlash of playing the extra games last year?
You know, I would have to say no. Because Rangers now, for the last, well, I think since Steven Gerrard came in 2018, they've probably been upwards of 55, 60 games every season. That's why Conor Goldson, guys like James Tavernier, they're up there on the list of all-time European appearances for Glasgow Rangers, because of the amount of games they've got. What I would say about this season, again, particularly Conor Goldson, he's someone who has barely missed a minute, never mind a run of games. When this Champions League campaign, because of the World Cup, has been condensed over this period, and the games do go up a level, there's no doubt about that. The team's not feeling great about themselves individually. They're not performing. They're getting barred for penalty post. There has been so much pressure, and they've been under so much scrutiny. That can also feed into it. But I think when you're putting this amount of games in that 7-week period, having these 6 Champions League games, it definitely puts the body under a lot of strain, particularly for these guys like your Goldsons, like your Taverniers, who are got Lundstrom, who are going again every week. Because these guys don't get rested, they don't get left out or rotated, they're there every single week. So I think this season, how congested the games have played a part in terms of what's went on last year. Listen, it's a fair point, you know, but the fact is that they have Conor Goldson particularly, he's probably went 50, 62, 67, 54 games over the last 4 seasons, so, and he still managed to churn it out. But things are not going well. It always hurts harder and takes more out of you when things are not going well.
A bit pushed for time, Alan, but make it quick to Roger.
Roger, unfortunately, I've come on this time every year, you're a sports journalist. Do you think the national papers should be, well, here we are again, remembering Sunday, 15 seconds at Celtic Park. Do the Celtic board meet the act? It's a disgrace.
Oh, geez, I did say we were pushed for time. I'm supposed to take this break 4 minutes ago, and you're going to need to satisfy that answer in the next 15 seconds.
Very difficult one. I don't know. This will be a bugbear for the Celtic board as well, because incidents like this, for me, embarrass the football club. But I think the Celtic board have tried in the past to deal with things like this. Look, you know, there was another UEFA fine last week. I think it's now up to 43,000 in this European campaign alone. And some of the customers of Celtic Football Club and the supporters aren't necessarily on the same page as the board of directors.
Thanks, Alan. 01419511025. Sorry, we're late for the travel. Take more calls next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. I hope you are not too confused to hear us. If you thought we were going anywhere during the World Cup, you are sorely mistaken. We're going to stay here because Scottish football is never quiet. It might get a touch quieter, but it'll never be quiet. There's bound to be something going on across the next 5 weeks, and we will be here.
This time next Monday night, and I'm just looking at your World Cup fixtures over Kenny Miller's shoulder. This time next Monday night, we will be getting ready for Cameron Carter-Vickers versus Gareth Bale at the World Cup. How much excitement can you handle, Gordon?
Brilliant. And we'll be...
I thought I wanted to mention the World Cup again, Gordon.
I know, that lasted half an hour, didn't it? That wasn't great. 01419511025. We've got enough on our plate. We're still looking back on the weekend. This might even last a few days. You never know. Let's bring in Gordon, who's a Rangers fan. Day one of the break, if you like. Gordon, how do you look back on the weekend and, I suppose, the last couple of weeks?
Well, first and foremost, I won't be watching the telly of the World Cup because England's on it, so that'll be the end of that. going back to the very first game, Ajax, when Gio said they couldn't compete. Now, I know Kenny's in there as a player. That must devastate guys right away for me. You know, he just put a down marker on the whole team for there and gave them a bit of excuse. So for me, there comes a point where a manager just can't turn the thing around, and I think it needs a change. For me, Michael Beale would be ideal. I don't know if it would leave QPR now, but for me, Gio's got to go. It's as simple as that. There comes a point in the time where you just can't turn it around, in my opinion.
This might seem like I'm probing quite a lot, Gordon. I'm just trying to get a sense of, you know, how strongly you feel about that. Are you sort of you would prefer change? Have you just come round to the idea, or will you be furious if Rangers come out of this break with the same manager?
I would definitely want a change, 100%. I just think, you know, he's not an inspiring guy anyway, but I just don't think he's came to a point in time where he just can't turn that around. And it comes, every team has it, you know, a manager goes down the road for a certain time, then you've got to change it just to make it fresh.
Yeah, we said that, Kenny, I think a couple of weeks ago. This was maybe just my own personal feelings on the way you can come at the question. Have you done enough to be sacked as like a punishment, if you like? Or a different way of asking it, are you the man to go forward from here, from this point? And I mean, that's the sort of the bit that Gordon's focusing on. He just doesn't see it getting turned from here.
Yeah, and that is what I've said all along. That's only a question for the board. You know, they're the ones that can decide if Gio's the right man. And I think they need to decide quick, because what Gordon's saying is exactly right, because everybody's thrown all the words lethargic, Roger used it earlier, lack of energy, passion, desire, fight, all these words that have been thrown into the Rangers performances, or lack of that, all those words in the Rangers performances. It certainly looks that way. So in relation to the manager being able to inspire the players, the manager being able to get the best out of them, at the moment it's not looking that way, and that's why you can sense the frustrations from all the fans. However, you only need to go back. I mean, Roger's saying 6 months, 12 months. Well, it was only 12 months ago that Gio came at the job. 6 months ago, they were on the way to a European final, where all of those things, all of those qualities that we've just listed that are not on show at the moment, were on show in abundance. So the players are capable. Gio's capable of getting out of the players. At the moment, the club's in a really, really bad place in relation to this. 9 points behind Celtic after 15 games is absolutely unacceptable. That is it. So that alone, managers have lost their jobs for less, you know. So if it's the right time, they need to do it, and they need to make it quick. And if it's not, you said it earlier, a bit of communication to actually let the fans know exactly what they're thinking and what their plan moving forward is, I think that would also help to the situation.
Kenny, you've been in dressing rooms for 20 years, you've seen managers come and go. Do you think a different voice in the dressing room, a different figure in the training ground, would be able to get more out of this group of players?
Yes, I think that's always there. I mean, at the moment, that group of players are nowhere near the potential that they've got. They're nowhere near the performance level that we've seen over the last year, over the last 3-4 years. They're nowhere near it. So there is so much more in the group. The injuries, yep, we throw in. The lack of confidence, it's massive. The amount of games, the heavy defeats, everything plays into it. But see, when you're at Rangers, you need to just get on with that. You know, you need to go out there, and these St Johnston games, these Livingston games, these St Mirren games, with the greatest of respect to these teams, Rangers should be beating them.
Is that where the problem has really intensified in recent weeks? Because it was interesting to hear Gordon mention the Ajax game and the comments that were made about not being able to compete in the Champions League. And many people felt that, okay, whether you should say it or not, but ultimately it's true. And, you know, if you're out your depth financially at that level, I mean, but what does that say then when St Mirren and Livingston and St Johnston are getting results against you? Again, the injuries, of course it's a problem. Of course it deserves a level of sympathy, but you should still probably be able to get results against these teams.
That's why you've got the squad. That's why you've got the big budget. You know, I think Giovanni's comments after the Ajax game, he kind of backtracked on them in the days and the weeks after that, because I think he knew exactly what he had said. He knew that the team had competed against these teams like Dortmund and Leipzig the year before to get to Seville. And they also knew domestically the disparity between Rangers and the rest is probably on par in terms of the scale, a budget, say Napoli's and Liverpool's and Ajax's. So I think he understood that, and he kind of backtracked on it. But the bottom line is, it doesn't send a great message. It wouldn't give me a good feeling about as a player, because I think when you go into any game, you know, if you turn up, particularly when you're a Rangers player, you know, you can go and compete, you can go and fight, you can go and run hard, you can go and work, you can do all the ugly side of the game that should never be taken for granted. It should be the bare minimum. But this group have got quality as well, and the bottom line is they've just not shown it this season.
What was bad specifically about the weekend? Because this keeps happening, that, you know, the overall picture seems so bleak to many of you Rangers fans. It's Monday night, we've not even discussed anything, I don't think, from the game. Somebody made one comment about Leon King clearing the ball, but what annoyed you about the weekend? What specifically from the weekend told you that this has gone too far?
I don't think it's just a weekend, Gordon. I think it's just been an accumulation of a couple of weeks where I just think Gio's just lost his dressing room completely. You know, the thing, I keep going back to the Ajax thing, I'm sorry to get back to it, but I mean, I remember back when Walter Smith took a team to Manchester, and with all due respect to some of the players in there, they were journeymen, and he got them to the final. You know, and he never mentioned anything about being no competing. If you talk about Neil Lennon with Barcelona, beating Barcelona 2-1 in Celtic Park, he never spoke about no competing. It's about setting the mindset for a team, and I'm sure Kenny knows that himself. It's about setting the mindset and make sure they're up for it. And I don't think that guy's got that capability to do that. And I think if we don't change it now, it'll be a disaster. It was a disaster already, but it'll get worse.
You know, I think, in relation to the team, right, the players have to, I've said it already, the players need to take responsibility. When you play for Rangers or you play for Celtic, you play for one of the sides of the Old Firm, when you're in these situations and you're under so much pressure and you've got everybody's wanting to tell you how bad you are, you need to have this thick skin and this strong mentality that you thrive in this environment, and that when you're asked to bring your best, you can bring your best. At the moment, I know there's players like that in that building because I've played with these guys and they've lived it. They've been really, really successful as Rangers players. But there's just no that at this moment in time, it's like they're just going under. You know, they're not standing up to the pressure. They're not putting their chest out. They're not having a bit of arrogance about them to say, we are better than the opposition that we're playing and we're going to go and show it. At the moment, the games are really, really in the balance. You know, Rangers have got, again, with greatest respect, they've got better players. I don't think anybody would ever question that. But the moment, the games are in the balance. Yes, you've got all the ball. Yes, you're maybe asking all the questions, but the game's right in the balance for me. And you've seen that with the Livingston result, the St Johnstone result and the St Mirren result, and it shouldn't be that way.
But you look, I know exactly the point you're making, and I agree with everything you're saying, but when I heard, I was driving to Tynecastle on Saturday, when I heard Andrew McLean at Smyza Stadium reading out the Rangers team, you look at the Rangers team and there are very, very few players in that starting 11 on Saturday who have the characteristics that you're talking about there, Kenny. Now, whether that's down to recruitment, whether that's down to the way Giovanni Van Bronckhorst sends them out, you played in a team with David Weir and with Lee McCulloch and with
Barry Ferguson, Naismith, all these guys, you know,
exactly,
Boyd's,
who had all the metal, if you like, for it. The current Rangers team doesn't have that.
Or they're not showing it. They're not showing it. And this, like you say, you need to be able to have it to show it. I get that. But they've shown it. You know, they've shown a real character about them. But my question is, are they only showing it when everything's going well? Because last year, they had despite losing the league from a really strong position, they had a brilliant year. The year before, they go through a domestic league season undefeated and get the league. For the last couple of seasons, it's been all positivity. So it's easy to ride that, and it's easy to show up on a Saturday when you're in that moment. At this moment in time, this group is probably in the worst moment that they've been. And they need to respond and need to show what the capabilities to carry in the weight of that jersey on their back.
Thank you very much to Gordon. Mark is in Stirling. He's got some interesting thoughts on the managerial situation. We'll hear them next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hannah and Kenny Miller are here. It's 0141 951 1025, or it's Twitter at Clyde SSB. Mark in Stirling has been hanging on for quite some time. My apologies, Mark. Take it away.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm not too bad, to be honest.
You had to think about that there, though, didn't you? You've been better because of the weekend.
As I saw, I wanted to take the weekend, I must admit, yeah. My point being, I've listened over the last few nights, possibly the last few weeks, about Gio's position being under threat. And I keep hearing the same name being brought up time and time again, of Michael Beale. Now, from a personal point of view, Michael Beale was the tactician behind Gerrard's tenure. And over the course of Gerrard's tenure, it was always brought up that he never had a plan B, he never had a plan C. So why? All right, he's had a not bad start, for QPR. But why on earth are we looking for a man, Michael Beale, who clearly was the tactician behind Gerrard's being at Rangers?
Now, this is interesting, Mark, because most people who want Michael Beale want him because he was the tactical mastermind behind Steven Gerrard, but that's the reason you don't want him.
Well, if you look at Rangers' record, not just domestically but also in Europe, when Michael Beale obviously done what he done behind the scenes, there was no, there was no plan B. It was, we set up as a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-1-4-1. And there was no change of tactics, there was no dynamics to the team. I can't understand why people want Michael Beale.
See, I love to be surprised on this show. I thought they liked the tactics before, but everyone's got their own take, Kenny.
Yeah, have you watched his QPR team at all, Mark?
I've seen clips. I don't particularly watch English football, but I've seen clips.
Well, he's played a number of different systems, you know, over his time at QPR. He's played back three, which again, you only seen that once, I think, in their time up at Rangers. I think it was the second game actually against Motherwell, finishing a 3-3. I think that was the only time they played a back three from the start anyway. Michael's definitely, I think he's not just a one-trick pony, that's for sure. And I know a lot of fans would, if the job was to become available, would like to see him back at Ibrox. So I wouldn't just say that's there might have been thrown at that team, but at that time plan A was working. You know, plan A was working quite a bit when you go through a domestic league season unbeaten, win the league, and by the way, and the European runs were good. You know, like, you're not going to get to a final of a European competition as a Scottish club every year, but to keep qualifying for the group stages and then making it out of the group stages, particularly with some of the groups that they were in, I thought was a decent achievement. So I think it's I understand what you're saying over that time, but there was, I think Michael now as a manager, there's a real flexibility about how he sets his team up. Listen, the style will always remain, but in relation to how he sets his team up, there is a lot of flexibility there.
Michael Beale has won 9 league games as a manager. For me, Rangers can't be appointing, and I would say the same to Celtic, cannot be appointing a manager who has won 9 league games in his managerial career.
How many had Steven Gerrard won?
Of the last 5, listen, that's a good point, I'll give you that. But for me, Steven Gerrard came at a time where Rangers needed a big personality. He brought an experienced number 2. He was given carte blanche to bring in an entire backroom team of 7 or 8 or whatever it was to support him. And he was given an enormous budget over a number of windows to reshape Rangers. And it was a success, because he was charged with stopping 10 in a row, and he stopped 10 in a row. I don't think, you know, a lot of those players, listen, Michael Beale, very talented coach, no doubt about it, no question, I can't question his credentials at all, but a lot of those players wouldn't have been anywhere near Rangers Football Club had Steven Gerrard not been the manager, and that was why he was brought in. I just think if Giovanni Van Bronckhorst leaves the club, I think for Rangers to take a step forward, they need someone with a greater degree of managerial experience than Michael Beale currently has.
Well, you know, like, I get it. I mean, the names that have been kind of, I mean, Sean Dyche was talking about the job. I mean, what a record he's got. Another one was Hasenhüttl, because you start throwing the Ross Wilson connection, the Southampton thing. Again, being a manager for a number of years, got a far bigger, longer track record than Michael Beale. But I don't buy into that kind of way of thinking. Neil Lennon took over at Celtic as well and had a successful, a lot of success as a Celtic manager without having very, very little experience as a coach or a manager. Listen, is Michael Beale the right man? I'm not here to say that or not say it, but I think he will be very, very high on the list if Giovanni was to be moved on.
A couple of minutes ago before the break, before Mark came on, Gordon Kenny was making the absolutely correct point about some of the qualities that some of his teammates and past Rangers teams had that are missing from the current squad of players. I think the same goes for managers, because, you know, look at the most successful manager of the modern era at Rangers, Walter Smith. You played under him. To be a successful manager at Rangers, or Celtic, you need to have, for want of a better expression, a bit about you. And no one had more about them than Walter Smith. And you look at the Martin O'Neills, the Brendan Rodgers, Ange Postecoglou at the minute has got a bit about him. You think some of the previous Rangers managers as well, Graeme Souness, Dick Advocaat, who signed you first time round, a wee
bad
bit about
bad
him.
Bad judge of character, clearly.
So whoever comes in, more, you know, to have players who have a bit about them, you need to get a manager with a bit about them as well.
Mark, you're not so... We need to take a step back here because Rangers don't have a managerial vacancy, right? So I accept what you're saying. You don't want the next man to be Michael Beale. Does that mean you don't think Rangers should change at all? Or it's just that name that's annoying you? How do you feel about the current manager?
No, I think... Listen, I loved you. I loved him as a player. I loved him as a coach when he was at Feyenoord. I don't know his record when he went to China. But I think he's, that result of the weekend is the nail in the coffin for me. He's clearly not got the players doing what he wants to do, whether that's his fault, his coaching staff, or the players themselves. I heard the guys mention there about Sean Dyche. That guy is a proven manager in the English Premier League with a very limited budget and still managed to keep up. All right, his last few months where he eventually lost his job at Burnley, fair enough. But overall, we managed to keep Burnley in the Premier League for so many years on a small, small budget. And he managed to get those players playing for him. And not just playing for him, but he had a set system where it was, let's just set a stall out, don't concede many goals, and let's go for it.
Yeah, there's always going to be a balance here, right? Because the assumption is that any new manager gets more out of this current group than Giovanni Van Bronckhorst does. Fine. But we've now spent nearly an hour with not that much criticism or analysis of the players and what they need to do more. After the game at the weekend, there was a huge outcry about the performance of Alfredo Morelos. We've not mentioned that yet. What did you think when you watched? Because you were there, you went to the game as a fan, if you like.
I thought he was poor. I really did. Why was he poor? Again, everything I think we'll probably have discussed on the show. He's no fit. He's no sharp, or he's no at the peak of his powers at the moment. He does look a bit disinterested. You know, he's no the starter. He might even have any say, I'm only playing because Colak's injured. And it's just no.
Is that not meant to light a fire under you and say this is your chance to go?
Everybody's like that though. You know, and this is the thing when you're talking about characters and personalities. And are you up for the fight, or are you just going to go under when someone takes your jersey? And that's, again, at these clubs, you need to have that, like Roger says, that bit about you that he's not taking my shirt off my back. You know, and Alfredo at the moment, I still say he isn't where he needs to be physically. He's definitely nowhere he needs to be mentally, and that showed in his performance. You know, he was, for what you've seen over the years, for Alfredo Morelos, he's been the talisman of this team, the go-to guy in the big moments, and he's a shadow of that player at the moment.
I mean, maybe this is extreme, Roger, but just I'm looking, because of this break we've got, and then we're in mid-December, and the way that a lot of the Rangers fans felt after the game, is there an actual possibility that was maybe the last game Alfredo Morelos plays for Rangers if they make a real concerted effort to do something and try and recoup something in January?
Who would buy him?
Well, yeah, that's a good question, but
genuinely, Gordon, that's not even flipping. Who would buy him? Why?
You know, it's safe to say you weren't impressed at the weekend then?
It was absolutely hopeless. I heard you mention towards the end of the game when I was sitting at Tynecastle, you asked Gordon Dale on Saturday whether you put on young Robbie Ure instead of Alfredo Morelos. And Dad said, oh, no, at a time like this, you know, Rangers need goals, you need to keep Morelos on. And I thought, what gives you the impression that Morelos is going to score a goal? He's never looked less likely to score goals for Rangers. He's never looked less interested in playing for Rangers. The only time he seemed to get himself worked up was when he knocked Ethan Erhard on off the ball straight from the kickoff, got a booking, allowed St Mirren to knock a free kick forward, which led to the St Mirren goal. You know, you see sometimes people will complain in this show about Ryan Kent. Now and again, you see a flicker in Ryan Kent, and he might not be in top form, but I do genuinely think he's trying. And, you know, whether Ryan Kent signs a new deal for Rangers or heads off somewhere else in January or heads off somewhere else next summer. He'll go on and he'll have a decent career somewhere, Ryan Kent, for the rest of his career. You wonder when Alfredo Morelos leaves Rangers, where on earth he'll end up going next?
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Thanks, Mark. I'm sure there's a lot more to be said on those topics, so feel free to keep the calls coming. What about you, Celtic fans? Because the Rangers picture seems so bad because your picture keeps looking good. You keep winning. That keeps making the gap big at the top. So what did you make of the game at the weekend? Is that Haksabanovic? Is he now really staking a claim to be one of the main men in those attacking areas? And of course, in case you hadn't heard, there was more handball drama. So now's a good time to share your thoughts on that. But before we do, 01419511025, it is Beat the Pundit time. The pundits have been winning for far too long. We need to knock them off their perch, and you need to get your call in before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Kenny Miller are here. It's 01419511025. So much has been said already tonight about Rangers' defeat. Oh, not defeat, it probably felt like a defeat for some of you Rangers fans. Rangers draw at the weekend, the subsequent pressure or continuation of pressure on Giovanni Van Bronckhorst. So feel free to elaborate. It might be a good time to switch to the other side of the city or anything else. Celtic fans, how do you feel? You just keep on winning these games, you keep piling the pressure on. What did you take away from Saturday? As said, Haksabanovic now flavour of the month. It feels like all those attacking players have had a go at it. Is it now his turn? And I'd be amazed if we get through the rest of the show without talking about a certain handball given against Matt O'Reilly at the weekend. Kenny Miller's already given it his howler of the weekend at the start of the show. So if you've any thoughts on that or anything else from the weekend, now is the time to share them.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time, first and foremost. There is a long unbeaten run going on for the pundits. I don't like it, I don't like it one bit. Let's see if Mark and Kilsyth can end it. Are you feeling confident, Mark?
I'm confident, aye.
Now, apparently, Mark, you played a few years ago. Who did you play against?
Roger Hanna. I beat him.
You beat him?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Mark, that puts you in a very, very exclusive club. Roger, you can't have lost more than five games in your entire Super Scoreboard career.
Oh, I don't know. Something like that.
Wow, Mark, was it convincing?
No, it was close.
I was going to say, beat him, we won.
It
couldn't possibly. Wow, I feel, I'm a wee bit starstruck speaking to Mark.
I was probably before this minus one nonsense as well. You see, son, Mark, it's everything's Mark at the minute is 2-5 on Betfair.
Mark must be a, please gamble responsibly. Mark must be a player. Right, I'm excited about this. Heads, it's Roger, and you'll get your rematch, and tails, you'll need to settle for a mere mortal and Kenny Miller, who doesn't have the privilege of the minus one. Oh, you've got your rematch, Mark. Oh. You better believe it. It's a heads.
All the best, Mark.
And you know what, Mark? I think he might be rusty. He's not played in ages.
Yeah.
The coin has been very kind to him. So, Roger, in case you've forgotten how this works, I'm going to give you some Clyde 2.
Cool.
And Mark, I know it's been a few years, so 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can. And if you don't know, you are more than welcome to pass and move on to the next one, okay?
No problem.
Top man, 30 seconds then starts now. Name any side Alfredo Morelos has scored against this season.
Aberdeen.
How many current Scottish Premiership sides has Effie Ambrose played for?
Two.
Who is the longest serving SPFL manager now that Jim McAnally's left Peterhead?
Dick Campbell.
Are there more Canadians or Americans playing in the Scottish Premiership at the moment?
Canadians.
Who left Celtic for Montpellier in August 2022?
Julian.
In what year did Rangers appoint Paul Le Guin as manager?
2006.
Oh, let's bring back Roger. Can you hear us?
Yep, yeah, just enjoying a bit of foreigner there in Clyde too.
I'm excited about this. You ready?
Go for it.
Name any side Alfredo Morelos has scored against this season.
Aberdeen.
How many current Scottish Premiership sides has Effie Ambrose played for?
Two.
Who's the longest serving SPFL manager now that Jim McAnally's left Peterhead?
Oh, that's a good one. Davey Martin.
Are there more Canadians or Americans currently playing in the Scottish Premiership?
Americans.
Who left Celtic for Montpellier in August 2022?
Julian.
In what year did Rangers appoint Paul Le Guin as manager?
2006.
What do you think, Mark?
I think the American or Canadian one could
just a guess, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Now he is on -1 these days, so that might go in your favour. So name any side Morelos has scored against. You both went Aberdeen, you are both correct. You could have gone Killie or Hearts. How many current Scottish Premiership sides has Effie Ambrose played for? I must admit, you both said two.
That's three.
It's four.
Oh, what?
I'm amazed at that list. Celtic, right, fine. Hibs.
Oh, St Johnstone and Livy.
Livingston and St Johnstone. Not a chance that I've got that right. So
he's still playing very well. I saw him last week.
Yeah, Morton and Dunfermline as well, but not Premiership side. So it's one all, but Rogers minus one. Dick Campbell is now the longest serving manager. I would have bet anything that you would have read that today, because it's been in your paper, the story which says McAnally's left Peterhead. The next line is usually, and now
going to see him on Saturday at Firhill.
It's Dick Campbell. So it's 2-1 in normal money, if you like. There are more Americans. There are 7 Americans to 5 Canadians. So where are we? Is that 2-2? Yeah, but Roger still trails. Is that right? No.
No, yes.
I think that's our level now on, I think.
Right.
No?
Okay. Who left Celtic for Minpelli in August 22? It's Julian, you both got it. And Paul Le Guin as Rangers manager 2006, you both got it. So that was a 1-2-3. And it was a 4 for Roger Hanna. So we're officially level with his -1. Any complaints about that? No?
No, it's good.
Oh yeah, I think Mark's done you. Producer, yeah. Chris says, so has he got Kilmarnock? He got Dick Campbell? Yeah, he got Julian and 2006. It's a 4-4. And he's done you on your -1. Well, why do you look so confused? Why are you doing
this? Sorry, no, I was writing them.
All of us, you never actually told us that he got that one right. The Dick Campbell one.
Oh, my apologies. Oh, no, my apologies.
Oh, sorry,
it's my fault. I don't mind. I'm big enough to hold up my hands when it's my fault. But Mark did get Dick Campbell, which means it's 4
right,
each.
Okay.
And Roger's
well done, Mark.
One has done. Mark, you've got this guy on toast. One more and you get to take him.
I think now this -1 has to go. Go
Mark, well done.
I'll get him in the mantelpiece.
I love it.
93 for that, Mark.
Well done, Mark. Are you deliberately losing so that your -1 goes?
No, not at all. No.
I find it hard to be sympathetic. I just feel you should have got Dick Campbell. You know, I can't have met much sympathy, but a man of your knowledge should have got Dick Campbell. That's all I can say on that. I forgive you, Effie Ambrose, because that's really the only other one you got wrong, I think, wasn't it? But Mark was decent.
Oh, Mark was very good.
Mark was good. Mark was good. I enjoyed that. Thank you to Mark and Clothesythe. 01419511025. Maybe I just need to read the questions quicker, as you always say. I thought I got through or not, but you both got the same amount of questions, and don't feel too guilty about my part in that. So there we are, a long unbeaten run for the pundits, and who would have thought Roger Hanna, the man to bring it crashing back down to earth. 01419511025. I like that story today. Or I don't know if "like" is the right expression, but when the Peterhead manager leaves, it doesn't usually make headline news, if you like. But he's been there 11 years, by a mile the longest serving manager. And I think you're not far off with David Martindale. I noticed in the table he's bobbing about somewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dick Campbell. Now, here's one for you. Will we see another SPFL manager do an 11-year stint ever again?
No top flight, I would say. Maybe one of the smaller teams, the lower leagues, maybe.
What's Dick Campbell at now?
7?
No. 6 something. So I mean, even he's got a long way to go. Do you think we'll ever see it again, Roger? 11 years at one club.
I would doubt it. Kenny's probably right. You know, you maybe get one of the smaller community clubs, and they get someone who buys into the culture of it. Great quotes from Roger Morris and the Peterhead chairman this afternoon, just talking about the sacrifices, both personal and financial, that Jim McAnally has made during his 11 years at the club. And I think in the past he's been close to leaving and looking to do other things, and he just couldn't tear himself away from the club and for the supporter base up there. But he's now chosen to leave. I think Davy Nicholls is in charge for the game against Dunfermline at the weekend. They're only a point behind Jim Duffy's Clyde, new manager in at Clyde, decent result at Dunfermline at the weekend. for Duff. So interesting to see how it all shakes down.
Producer Chris has just told me Jim McAnally saw five prime ministers, which sounds a lot, but it feels like we've had five in about the last 6 weeks. So I don't know. I actually thought it might have been more, but there you are. There's the football stat that you never knew you needed.
In Peterhead.
On a, I wouldn't have thought so. On a Monday night. Right. We've been talking a lot about Paisley on Saturday, but of course in this city everything's linked, and the reason the Rangers picture looks doubly bad is because, well, Celtic keep winning, and that keeps that points gap stretching every time they slip up. Even when there is a wobble, Roger, or a big decision or whatever, you just don't feel like they're going to drop points at the moment, do you?
No, and you made a good point just before the 7 o'clock news here when you spoke about Hak Sabanovic. Every time Celtic have been in trouble lately, one of that, I was going to say front three, one of that front seven, Gordon, has stepped up. Right at the start of the season, it was Jota. Then there was a spell, if you remember, that, you know, Abada came in, scored a couple in the Old Firm game. Giakoumakis scored that late winner at Perth against St Johnstone after Mitchell had equalised for St Johnstone. Maida scored one of the goals late on against Dundee United. James Forrest came in and had that little spell, and they now got a hat trick to get through 100 goals for Celtic. Kyogo's done it, and now at the weekend, when it was balanced at 1-1 with Ross County, Hak Sabanovic has stepped forward and done it for Ange Postecoglou. And, you know, Kenny was talking in the first hour about Rangers players needing to step up and contribute. There's been no shortage of Celtic attacking players stepping up and contributing.
The numbers, Kenny. Everyone talks about the numbers, and nothing would highlight the difference probably between the sides at the moment if you were to add up all the goals scored by the striking options and the wide options. Celtic have just constant contribution from the, those areas, don't they?
And it doesn't matter who it is, and that's the thing. If it's Forrest comes in and scores four goals, and I think it was less than 100 minutes of football, Hak Sabanovic has stepped up. And the goal, the way it was, Rodgers gave it his goal of the weekend, but it's the way it was constructed, you know. And this is where there's a big difference between both clubs. There is a real cohesion, there's this quick play, this understanding about the Celtic front three, front four, even when you get O'Reilly stepping forward, or McGregor's, or Hatate's that go and join in. There is just some really, really good quick link-up play that does pull teams apart. You know, the one, again, they win 2-1, but they had 22 shots at goal, 10 on target, like, and they're really good chances, and they still carve teams open, even when they're maybe not quite at their best. But it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, Roger says seven players. I mean, there is probably more. I mean, you've got Kyogo and Giakoumakis, his two strikers, wider areas. You've got Forrest, Maeda, Hak Sabanovic, Jota, Abada. Like, it doesn't matter who's playing. They're all chipping in with goals.
And then even if you need a David Turnbull to come in and get one at the weekend.
Yeah, and it pops up. Hatate's popped up with some big goals, but again, was instrumental in the goals that were scored at the weekend. So they are firing, you know, and they're really, really dangerous in an attacking sense with their movement, with their link-ups, with their 1-2 touch play to carve teams open. It's as I've said it many times, it's impressive to watch how they'll go about their business in an attacking sense.
Let's bring in Stephen, who's a Celtic fan in Kirkintilloch. What did you take away from the game at the weekend, Stephen?
Hi gentlemen, thanks very much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
Obviously loved the result and got there no matter what was put in front of us. My biggest concern really is some of the outrageous decisions that we've seen in VAR since it's came in. You know, I think Celtic has been on the end of some ridiculous decisions, from the handball at Tynecastle to the offside at Jota, which was inconclusive. I mean, if it's offside, prove it. That's what VAR's meant to do. I don't think the diagram done that. Then the week that the could be the red card at Motherwell, which we never got. Then you've got Saturday's game there, which I can only describe as the penalty is outrageous. I mean, handball, accidental, outside the box at the very best. You know, I just don't feel as if VAR is really doing what it's meant to do. And I thought the whole point of VAR was to eradicate mistakes. It seems to be making them more than sorting them out.
Oh, I mean, the difficulty with this is, Roger, we can spend all night going back over them all, if that's what callers want, fine. The Jota one, for instance, I can sense the reaction as well. The Scottish FA, the officials, Hawk, they say they can conclusively tell that it was off. Whether we can then see the picture that backs that up, we're in danger of going over old ground. I get it's adding to a bigger picture of frustration for Stephen. What we've not gone over yet, really, on the show, apart from Kenny's howler, is that handball at the weekend. They were saying this every week here. Specifically that one, Describe it to me, explain it to me. I need help with it.
I think we all need help with it, to be honest with you. And if this 5 week break does nothing else, we need to use it to iron out some of these issues. The handball rule now is a farce. It's embarrassing. People are confused by it. And when I say people, I don't mean Stephen, I don't mean me, I mean referees, VARs, and football managers. I spoke to Robbie Nielsen and David Martindale after their game at the weekend, and they both had complaints about VAR, and they both were confused about how it has been implemented. Just about every manager in the league has said the same thing about it, and we need to get to grips with it, Gordon. But we need to get to grips with it.
How do you get to? How are we going to get to grips with a handball rule that seems to be causing chaos in the Champions League and international football and the English Premier League and Serie A? But what are we going to do about that over a 5 week World Cup break?
Well, we need to get to somewhere where Matt O'Reilly's incident at the weekend isn't a penalty, because it's ridiculous.
How do we do that? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, Kenny. Maybe even under this current framework, under this current wording of the rule, still tough to see how Matt O'Reilly's is a penalty.
That is.
And I get Stephen's point. Now, Stephen's now querying whether it was inside or outside the box. I hope Stephen doesn't mind. For our own sanity, can we assume that it was inside, just so that we can actually analyse the perceived handball?
I think we need to assume that it was, right, because if anything, surely VAR can put a situation in.
If it's on the line, it would be in. But
the handball is just ridiculous. You know, it really is. And I agree with Roger. I think even the referees are looking at it and think they're implementing it to the letter of the law. But I would like to see, if there's referees taking the law aside and taking all the wording and the nonsense that is put into the handball rule, if there's a referee there actually thinks that is a handball and it should be a penalty, because I don't think there would be too many of them, because surely common sense has got to prevail at some point.
I think, again, Roger, to be specific, because what we are, I think, quite bad for, we just lump everything together.
I agree.
We broad brush everything. So particularly in that one at the weekend, where I am struggling to get my head round it is, if we go back to Bernabeu's, right? Again, everybody thought Bernabeu's against Dundee United was extremely harsh, should never have been a penalty. You're looking at the wording of the rules and you're talking about, is the movement of the arm justifiable because of the body action? And everyone seems to think yes, because he's tried to header the ball and his hand swung round. Fine, but if a referee says, right, but this is the way it's working, Stephen Fletcher's header is going towards the goal, it has hit an arm, and that has stopped the ball getting towards the goal, and therefore we are giving that as a penalty. Might not agree, but we could kind of make our peace with it. What is Matt O'Reilly's? It's not a shot, it's not a cross, it's right at the edge of the box, it pops up. What purpose is being served how do we pretend we're going to get any sort of consistency if we're given those ones?
Yeah, and consistency is important, because Stephen and other Celtic supporters will be perplexed as to how the Matt O'Reilly incident is a handball, but Michael Smith at Tynecastle isn't a handball. I'm confused. Supporters will be confused. I spoke to David Martindale on Saturday night. There's a handball by Alan Forrest in the build up to Hart's equalising goal. It's a handball. He handles the ball.
Does it not pop up off his foot first? I'm just curious, because I've seen one little quick clip of it. It was a genuine question.
I'm not sure.
Because if it does, then it wouldn't be a handball. But that's the only reason I was asking.
So, if that's the case, then half the handballs we've seen this season, you know, there's ones that have come off people.
That tends to be a bit of a distinction. The only one I can remember is Aberdeen at Ibrox, because it seemed very blatant. But if it comes off another body part, it's not meant to be a penalty.
But Roger's saying there that it came off his hand in the build-up, not necessarily for a penalty. So does that still apply? Because the handball... No, actually, I don't know if it does.
No?
I thought it did. Certainly David Martindale thought it did.
I applied it should be a handball, is what you're saying, because it was part of the build-up to the goal. It's not a penalty.
Oddly enough, I thought it was a foul on Joel Nubley, even before Alan Forrest handled the ball.
Right, but this is the problem, right? We're all about Matt O'Reilly, right? No point in getting over every bad decision, because we'd definitely be here all night.
Do you think Crawford Allen, head of referees, Ian Maxwell, head of the SFA, they cannot be sitting comfortably in their chairs? There's no way that they are sitting a month into this VAR thinking, this is going really well, guys, isn't it?
Probably not, but again, I still feel like some of the issues are separate. I feel like, for instance, the on-field referee gives that handball. Now, you can then say there's a feeling that VAR doesn't want to overturn it or doesn't want to ask him to look at it or doesn't think it's a clear and obvious error. But before VAR, before 4 weeks ago, that's been given as a penalty against Matt O'Reilly. This goes back to what I'm saying about generalising everything and broad brushing everything. And of course, we don't get, we never talk about the things that VAR gets right. So what, that's still a penalty 4 weeks ago. Is that just a bad refereeing decision?
Well, it depends which side of the you're looking at it from. If we are saying that the handball rule was correctly implemented by the referee and the VAR, then the referee hasn't made a mistake. But
yeah, that's my point. Everyone seems to think that that's not the case in this one.
Also, what would alarm me if I was Crawford Allen is the number of things that VAR are having to alert referees to that referees are missing.
Yeah, but that's also what it's there for, though, as well. Do you know what I mean? A month in, we can't be having that both ways. We can't be. If it's there to clear up mistakes and it clears up a mistake, there's no point in whinging about the fact that there was a mistake that got cleared up.
Seems to be an awful lot of mistakes, though, Gordon.
Oh, I get that, but like I say, that is us really wanting our cake and eating it as well. Surely. So what's your solution to that?
No.
By the way,
there is no solution because it's here, but I think we need to try and get to a position where every phone in like tonight and every post-match press conference is not dominated by VAR, because
there's personal responsibility goes on that as well.
In whose case? Our case?
Everyone.
Manager's
everyone.
Case?
Everyone. Yeah, you still hear managers talking about things that wouldn't be cleared up by VAR.
Debating it in the show on a Monday night if fans like Stephen weren't phoning in about it, and managers like Ange Postecoglou, Robbie Nielsen, David Martindale, Jim Goodwin.
Well, did you listen to Ange Postecoglou?
Yes, I did.
He doesn't want to talk about it
anymore. Yeah, and he said he was showing a disrespect for his team. Yeah. But previously, he was happy to talk about it to the extent where he was saying, we don't get penalties other than at Lennoxtown, and it's only a handball unless Michael Smith does it at Tynecastle. So he's been happy to talk about it.
Stephen, Matt O'Reilly's now been done by a fairly harsh one in the Champions League and domestically. Is this a Scottish thing? Is handball just a bit wild across the board if he's had one in the Champions League as well?
Well, I just think referees in Europe maybe judges to a different standard. I just personally feel since VAR has come in, there has been some ridiculous decisions week on week. We actually now expect to play against VAR and the other team. That's the way I think when I'm watching a game.
But again, Stephen, this is what I'm talking about generalising and understand it. And maybe I'm being a bit pernickety because it could have then influenced the decision. But the on-field ref gave that decision. If we didn't have VAR at the weekend, you have to assume that's still a penalty against Matt O'Reilly, rightly or wrongly.
Yeah, well, if he's given it, he's given it as a penalty. But why Michael Smith was not a penalty, and why was the Rangers one that I think it was Leon King that handled it against Hearts? Why was that not a penalty?
Well, it was Ben Davis and
hit him in the face,
which would be quite an easy explanation to that one. Maybe it is me being fussy, but even the Michael Smith one, it's meant to overturn it. And then goes back to something Roger says.
If it was a penalty,
can the refs do more? Because whether VAR, not VAR, what is the ref? Why does the referee give that one at the weekend if you are so sure that that's miles off it in terms of what a penalty should be?
But I don't know. But all I would say to Stephen is that he feels aggrieved for his team. But there is numerous other teams that can feel aggrieved as well. And I'll tell you, every single team will fall foul to a decision or decisions over the course of the season. There is maybe two or three. I'm not having the offside ones, because offside's offside, and the diagram that went up is not supposed to show the offside. It's the lines, and it's the Hawkeye, and it's the calibration. Yes, it was a poor picture, but the offside ones are offside. But the handball, I don't even know where to go with it.
What did you think? Stephen mentioned it about the Starfield.
Late, extremely late. You can do it after the break. We'll take more of your calls. Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah, Kenny Miller, both here, both ready for your calls on 0141 951 1025. And we are on Twitter as well, at ClydeSSB. So get your questions in. I think you are going to make light work of this, but we'll set it up anyway. I'll tell you what, we'll do it with a Celtic spin to make it a bit harder. for Kenny, because we've got a couple of versions.
Kenny played for Celtic.
Of course I know, but some of these were ex-teammates.
Scored goals in the Champions League
on the Rangers side. So
beloved
Derek Morrison says, can you name the last 10 English internationals to have played for Celtic? Pretty straightforward, I think, but it's starting to go down that road of, are we allowed to mention it? World Cup theme. 10, the last 10 English internationals to play for Celtic. I'll take one each.
I'm toiling.
No.
Joe Hart.
Joe Hart.
Aye, oh yeah, aye.
Okay, easy. Kenny.
Ian Wright? You know, is it that far back?
Yes, he's on there.
Oh, lovely.
Okay, any more?
Chris Sutton.
Yes. I'll leave it there. There's one on there actually that I think I might be.
Can I throw another one in there? Christopher Rogers Foster.
Yes, okay, we'll leave it there. There's one on there I might take off this list actually. I'm going to launch my own steward's inquiry. Ooh. So let's go for 9 or 10. We'll see how we get on. And by the way, thanks to Derek, that's fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to send your questions in. Fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit from Ange Postecoglou after that win at the weekend.
Yeah, you can sense it even with our supporters now. They're, no one panics. Players know what they need to do, and they really believe in themselves. I think the opposition sense it as well, that we're going to come, and you know we're not going to be we're not going to yield at any point. And I'm pretty fortunate. I've got a fantastic group of players, real quality, but in terms of character, outstanding. The fact that they continue to rise to every challenge. I've already said that. I think me talking about it the last two weeks has done a disservice to my football club, and it's best I don't really talk about it anymore. The only way they were going to score today was a penalty, and they got it. So, from my perspective, we just got to make sure we're scoring more goals than the opposition.
Ange Postecoglou is not keen to keep talking about refereeing decisions. He thinks it takes away from his team. I don't get the sense that fans are quite on the same wavelength as that yet, which is interesting because they usually buy into everything he says, but it is understandable. And the show will probably cease if we don't argue about refereeing decisions. So the irony of that's not lost on me. But Kenny, if we could do football for a minute, how much is the hand-in-hand nature of the footballing rivalry in this city at play? You know, if you're Rangers, how hard is it to focus solely on what are you doing wrong and where are you going wrong? And how much do you have to acknowledge where you are in relation to your rivals? How did you find that as a player? And obviously you have played on both sides.
I don't think you can. I think you have to. It has to be solely about you.
Fans must do that though, but you don't think internally?
No. I don't think you can, because you can't control that, Gordon. You know, like if Celtic are playing outstanding again, go back to it last season. We were on the show every week and everybody was happy. Rangers were on the way to Seville, Celtic were on the way to a title and a double, Rangers were in the Scottish Cup. It was honours half kind of even-ish, as much as for me, if I was a Celtic fan, I would have been happier. But the Rangers fans on this show were talking about that they didn't care about Old Firm results because they had a big semi-final coming up. So last year was unique. This year, the nature of Glasgow, it's always the same. Somebody's doing well, somebody's doing not so well. Somebody's getting in the neck and somebody's getting the praise. At the moment, Celtic are rightfully getting the praise for the way they're performing. They're 9 points clear. They've won 14 games out of 15. Rangers are toiling. They've lost to St Johnston. They've dropped points against Hibs, St Mirren and Livingston. And it was a heavy, heavy defeat against Celtic in the only old firm of the season so far. So it's just the nature of the beast. But for Rangers, they have to work out quickly, focus solely on them. They can't control what's going on across the city. Yes, it affects what happened, the way they're viewed, but in relation to fixing it or getting or closing a gap or getting praise and getting back on a bit of forward momentum, they can only focus on yourself.
It felt, Roger, like a big moment for both at the weekend, because I mean, Ange Postecoglou talked about, you know, the kind of feeling in the stadium. He was even G'ing the fans up, which he doesn't tend to do. Jota's running into the net to get the ball. I think it was from the equaliser, so that Celtic could then start play a bit quicker. Games like home games in November against Ross County, no offence, don't tend to spark wild reactions. But because of what happened at lunchtime, is that what's at play here?
I'm not so sure. I actually thought the previous weekend was more significant, because with 87 minutes gone at Celtic Park, 2-2 with Dundee United, Rangers still to play on the Sunday, there was probably a chink of light there for Rangers in the title fight. And Celtic then scored two in the dying embers of the game. They win 4-2, having won in similar style at Perth a week or two before. Rangers then shed all 3 points at Perth. They shed two at St Mirren in the next game. So, no, I know what you mean. I just think that's the way Celtic play now. You know, they want to win games.
I didn't mean that. I mean, they always play quick. I just meant the sort of the celebrations, if you like, the feeling, the fact that it felt like, I mean, the point I'm trying to make, 2-1 wins against Ross County in November don't always feel that big.
It's different though, because there is now this 5 week break and there is a significance to going 9 points clear, because Rangers now have an awful long time to stew on the way the results have gone the last couple of weekends. You know, Kenny would tell you, if you're a player, you want a game to come quickly so you can try and get back into a winning mentality and try and close that gap against Celtic. That 9 point gap is going to sit there until at least December the 15th. That's quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, Kenny, I suppose it would be the across the board, the consistency. I saw Rio Hatate getting more rave reviews at the weekend. Some of his clips, he's passing, his touch, the way he sets up the goals. Again, you can't help but thinking that maybe we're speaking from ignorance. Japan's midfield must be very good if he's going to be not involved in the next couple of weeks.
It's incredible, because he's probably right up there with contenders for player of the season so far. And his assists, he's on Saturday, have been great. His energy that he brings to the team, his forward running, and again, he's a box to box midfielder. He does pretty much everything. He's looking. I still, as much as he did make an impact when he first came in January, I still thought there was maybe more there, and well, you've saw, or he could do more. Well, you've seen it's just an incredible signing, you know. And Angie's plucked two or three of these guys now that, and we've talked about recruitment a lot over the course of the show. And these are this signing of Hatate is the engine room. I mean, he's everywhere. He covers every blade of grass. He can assist. He can score. He does his shift going back as well. I mean, his performances this year, like I said, between maybe him, Jota, O'Reilly, I think they're right up there for player of the season.
You always just have to temper this stuff a bit, Roger. I can just imagine Malky Mackay saying, "Oh yeah, my heart bleeds for Celtic that they're without Callum McGregor and they're able to call and all the rest of these." So it's, you know, it's a bit like when our clubs go into the Champions League and the Gulf and all that sort of stuff. But have, you know, obviously O'Reilly, Hatate, whether it's been Moy or Turnbull, they had to step up even more in the absence of Callum McGregor.
Yeah, very much so, and it's been noticeable. We spoke about that front seven, if you like. I think Ange Postecoglou rotates them quite well. He's rotated the fullbacks quite well. He's even got into a rotation for the centre half that plays alongside Carter Vickers. But the ones who are never rotated are Hatate and O'Reilly. They play every week. They play almost every minute every week, and they have, as Kenny says, they have become integral to the whole thing this season.
01419511025. We're going to speak to Scott, who's a Rangers fan from Govan. He's coming up next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott is in Govan. What's your point tonight, Scott?
Good evening, Gordon, Roger, Kenny.
Hello.
Hey, Scott.
See, before I get to my point, can I just give a quick shout out, Gordon?
I think this is the GBX, Scott. Honestly, do you know what? We kept you waiting so long tonight that I think it's only fair. Go on.
It's the weekend for the Rangers sweep out at Ibrox. I do it every year, like, and hopefully we've got another couple of good nights and see if we can raise some more money for Glasgow Mission.
Listen, of course, that's a great cause. I take back my cheeky comment about the GBX. You carry on.
I will. My point is, do you think the Rangers board should maybe consider implementing the 1 year loan contract and the Celtic have got it? Especially now knowing how much it's going to cost to sack Gio in the team.
Yeah, Roger, I mean, I think Celtic do that, don't they? I don't think they did with Brendan Rodgers, funnily enough. I think, did he get a bit longer?
It's a two-way street, actually, because the flip side of it, you know, Rangers put out their financial accounts last week. It was made public for the first time. They'd received over £4 million, I think, for Steven Gerrard from Aston Villa. So if you've got a manager on a long-term deal and somebody comes to pinch him, then they need to pay more money. if you have your manager only in a 12-month role in Dale, they only need to pay you 12 months worth of his salary to get him away. So you can see there's pros and cons on both sides of it.
What's the reason though, Scott? What you try to say, you think, is it just the financial thing? Do you forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth, do you think Rangers would be getting rid of Giovanni van Bronckhorst if they didn't need to pay so much compensation? Or a payoff?
I think they can't afford to pay him off. It's probably as simple as that. I am one of the fans that really did. We need something to change. You know, it's obviously a manager that needs to go, but I don't know. I don't think the board can afford it.
This is the beauty of this, Kenny, because I'll never be in that situation as a complete layman, somebody who doesn't know anything about football boardrooms, and I don't care whether it's Rangers or anyone else. I would just be really surprised if a football board sat and went, desperate to sack this guy, really want to sack him, doing a terrible job, not the guy for us, it's a bit pricey, so we'll just keep him. Can't surely.
I think you'd be surprised.
That's incredible.
I think you'd be surprised.
At what point then does it become can't afford to keep him rather than can't afford to sack him?
That's the question. That's how they've got to weigh up. It's as simple as that. In relation to Scott's point, I think you could sign a 4-year contract. That doesn't mean to say you're getting paid off 4 years' money.
Of course,
you know?
Yeah.
I would actually assume that probably most payoffs are probably about a year's money, to be honest, which would tie in with that year's rolling. Not everybody's, but I would think a lot of them will be probably around about that type of payoff. But it's again, these are all the things that I don't think the Rangers board will be dictated to buy what the payoff is. I think it'll be more if they feel it's the right thing to do at this time, and can they get the guy that they want in the building at this time as well.
So Scott, during this break, do you expect change? Do you see any way that this break finishes and you've still got the same manager?
I want him to go.
Aye, sorry, that, I should have reworded that, because you've got your concerns about the finances. In your mind, then, there's no way he should survive the break.
No, because you've got to take in the fact that if you give him the time, you've got a January window coming through. So does he then get the purse to spend in a January window, and we fall flat again come January, and then that's more money wasted come the summer? So I think the board have got to really weigh it up, the pros and cons of it.
Is there a scenario, Scott, would this make you feel any better, right, if this week the Rangers board put out a statement and said, we acknowledge results have been far from acceptable for this football club, and we're going to use part of this World Cup break to assess what's best going forward? Any sort of communication, would it make you feel better, or is that stuff just a waste of time?
It would make you feel better, but you've got to take in the fact of the AGM's just in the corner. There's no way that board's going to put out a statement saying, right, we're just sticking with this.
But that's what I'm saying, Roger. I don't know. I'm not saying the statement says stick by it, and how many times the managers get the vote of confidence and it's not, you know, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Look, it's only Monday, the game was only Saturday. I just feel like part of the frustration from the fans that are phoning in and tweeting in is that silence. It's almost like they need to know that the board acknowledges that there is at least a decision to make.
That's not the style of this Rangers board, to make public pronouncements like that. So I wouldn't have expected the board to have made a pronouncement like that today, to be perfectly honest with you, Gordon. I think Scott makes a good point. The annual general meeting is just round the corner, first week in December. Will the board want to do something prior to that to take the sting out of it? Because of a feeling that, you know, when shareholders gather for that meeting, it will not be a bed of roses for the Rangers directors. I think they have a lot of thinking to do during this 5-week spell. You could maybe even call it a 3.5-week spell, because they've only got 3.5 weeks till the AGM. I genuinely don't know. You could say it either way. I've said it before. I don't think the status quo can go on. Is it easier to get rid of one manager than 9 or 10 players? Very probably. And I think there are a few things that are working against Giovanni van Bronckhorst at the minute. The World Cup break, the closeness of the AGM, and more than anything else, he's just not going to tune out this team of players, Gordon.
I think he's got 13 days. I think the Rangers board, forget 3 weeks, forget 5 weeks, they've got 13 days till this team come back to training, and there needs to be a decision.
Is that what it is, 2 weeks off? Is it first 2 weeks?
I think they've got 2 weeks off.
I think you're right.
So that's when the players touch back down in the training centre in a couple of weeks' time, If it's Gio, then that's it. Gio's taking the team moving forward. The board believe he's a man. If it's not, then the new guy needs to be in the building. Because otherwise, we've talked about it, the disastrous scenario is December the 15th comes, no changes happened, more drop points, no great performance, no upturn, no improvements. Yeah, and even if you got to the Celtic game and then there was a change made, I just think that that would be the complete worst case scenario for everything. And Scott rightly talks about the timing of the World Cup break leading in. There's only 3 weeks to the transfer window when the first game's back. Like, it could be a disaster if that set of circumstances unfolded at Ibrox where there was no change made, and in that period leading into that, or even into the transfer window where business might have been done, the decision was made then. I just think it would be absolutely ludicrous if that was to happen. Mm.
Does it make any difference to you, communication?
Do
you
know, it does to me.
Yeah.
And it's not just for Rangers. I think for any football club, when they're in these moments, I think there's not many that communicate and put a bit of clarity out there. I mean, what I would say is, what you're communicating, make sure you stand by it. You know, don't say about this dreaded vote of confidence and then you go and make the decision in 3 weeks' time. I think communication, just to let them know where they're at, there's an acknowledgement of what's actually going on at the moment that's unacceptable. I think fans, there's a lot of uncertainty. You know, you're just waiting to hear, are we going to hear, are we not going to hear? And then just when there's a kind of blanket silence for the football club, it just leaves that in there. Whereas if you communicate anything, you know, it could be anything. It's for me as a fan, I think I would feel a little bit better if I heard something.
Thanks a lot, Scott. It was nice to get your feelings on it. 01419511025. I can see Gary in Motherwell calling. We might be a bit pushed for time, Gary. Why don't we get you on tomorrow? That would be probably better and give you a good run at it, if you don't mind. Anything else that's jumping out at you from the weekend you want to get off your chest, Roger? You mentioned Davy Martindale, Robbie Nielsen, both unhappy with VAR, high drama, late equalisers.
Yeah, not that I watch it. I'm told Tony Adams is off strictly
the
weekend,
that, no.
So I think Robbie Nielsen could be the man for next year after his dance on the pitch when Josh Ginnelly scored that equaliser.
I was waiting on VAR ruling that out after he's gone and danced.
You know
something?
I was the exact same thought went through my mind.
You said David Martindale felt that it should have because it was an Alan Forrest handball.
Twice an Alan Forrest handball, but before that, a foul by Toby Sibbick on Joel Nubley.
Can you imagine? What else was out there that you want to quickly digest because we are fast running out of time? I suppose you have to say massive win. Arguably biggest winners of the weekend, Kilmarnock.
It was a big win, but all it did was shine a light more on Hibernian. 6 defeats in 7. They have plummeted from 3rd to 8th. They are 5 points off Aberdeen in 3rd place. And it's a big 5 weeks for Lee Johnson to try and, you know, I'm going to say get players fit, because every week he trumpets all the guys who aren't available. So he needs to get them back, and he needs to get them producing some results.
I think that's pretty much us, which means you've got quite a lot of work to do on this teaser. We've neglected it, but we didn't need it tonight. We're having a good discussion about other things we're looking for, and it's now 9, right? I've cut one out. The last 9 England internationals to play for Celtic. So you've got Joe Hart, Ian Wright, Chris Sutton, Fraser Forster. We're only looking for 9 now.
Alan Thompson?
Yep.
Dion Dublin?
Yep.
Did Alan Stubbs play?
Nope.
Steve Guppy?
Steve Guppy, oh, outstanding. Well done.
Incredible.
Carlton Cole?
Yep. What's that, one more?
Yep.
Derek gave me the list and he put Scott Sinclair on it, but that was Team GB at the Olympics.
Yeah.
So that's not an official England cap. So
was Lee Naylor ever cap?
Nope. It's not Lee Naylor. Now here's one for you, because I know it's a Celtic question, but actually he's a former teammate of one of our old pals, Alex Ray. That do anything for you?
That could have been Lee Naylor at Wolves.
It's not Lee Naylor. Similar area of the pitch.
Michael Gray.
There we go. Thank you very much to Roger and Kenny. Look, we're going to need your company over the next 5 weeks. No Premiership football, but we are going nowhere. So make sure you join us at 6 tomorrow with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. And Callum Gallagher is up next.